Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hills, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer.
Brought to you by Digitex. Service for all brands of print equipment in your office?
Yeah, Digitex does that.
Digitex.ca
on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
106 in Edmonton. Oilers Now. Bob Stauffer, Brendan Escott with you. Oilers Now brought to you by Digitex. Hugh Porter and the staff at Digitex wish you and yours all the best during these uncertain times. Digitex.ca is Alberta's number one owned and operated place to buy office technology and software. You can text us on our Ask Leaf Fine Floors text line, 780-496-0063. Get the new floors you've always wanted with Ashley Fine Floors, 143rd Street and 111th Avenue. Just before we go to David Staples on the River Curry Resort and Casino hotline, I do want to get to a text on the Ashley Fine Floors text line. Ashley Fine Floors, 143rd Street, 111th Avenue, open Monday to Saturday. Haji texts the show and says, Bob, why do you feel the need to preface your comments regarding officiating by saying, Edmonton didn't lose the series because officiating? Question mark. You speak of losers' lament. However, I'd argue that officiating did have a very large impact on the series. Like the previous texter said before you went to break, one power play goal in two of those four games, and it's a 2-2 series. In game four, Winnipeg had two power plays in overtime, and while Connor looked like he was playing against the Blue Bombers as he was tackled and blocked repeatedly, the Oilers somehow drew no calls. You work for the Oilers Entertainment Group. You're an Oilers fan. Do not devalue evidence with your loser lament preface. Premise. Well, Haji, that's I appreciate the context. I just say, like, you know what? The one that was, to me, really egregious was the one on Draisaitl in overtime. That, I just was shocked that there was not a penalty called in that situation. But, again, they lost in four straight. And there are people that protect officials all in and say officials never cost a team a game. And anybody that's played a competitive sport knows that's not the truth. Especially when things are as judgmental as they are in a sport like hockey. Now, one of those two penalties was for puck being flipped over the glass, right? Like, that's an automatic call. But a guy water skiing in overtime like Josh Morrissey was on Leon Draisaitl, that not getting called, that just, it's that sort of stuff. And I mentioned the Canadian angle on this with the league because I actually think there are put it this way, there's an influence. It's been referenced as, quote-unquote, the Peterborough Mafia. But you've got guys like a Colin Campbell and like a Chris King, Mike Murphy in the past. Those guys see the game being played a certain way. And it's just too damn bad. The stars have to play through it. It's the best team sport. That's just the way it is. Except the rest of the world hasn't moved in that fashion in sport. And there lies the rub and part of the challenge. But I actually think it's more of a Canadian thing than an American thing. I think Americans would be more open to more calls being made against, the top-end, top-skill players and rewarding those teams. All right, let's go to our Oilers Now headliner, brought to you by Wilhauk Beef Jerky. It just might be the best you've ever tasted. Search for Wilhauk, W-I-L-H-A-U-K today. David Staples from the Cult of Hockey. A week ago today, we did Canton, we had Jason Kenny from 12 to 12:30, Ken Holland at 12:35 until 12:55, and David joined us. David, just before, because we must reference your work that you do for Post Media, you've been covering the pandemic. Are we closing in on getting out of it and getting back to normalcy here over the course and the direction of the numbers over the last week?
Well, I can speak on a personal level. My parents are in care
They've been locked into their institution since November. And for the first time today, Bob, I was able to take my mom out in her wheelchair for a walk. So fantastic. It was fantastic for these restrictions to be coming to an end. You know, the good news is that what we're seeing in the United States, and the New York Times reported on this, it's not just, you know, kooky right-wing people who believe this. The New York Times said today, even they got rid of the mask mandate in the states last month, the CDC did, Centers for Disease Control, and the cases just keep going down. They just keep going down. Texas opened up with about 50% herd immunity in March, and their cases just keep going down. We're there. The science is telling us loud and clear that these vaccines beat the virus. The uptake of Albertans on the vaccine is outstanding. We're moving to second doses for the most vulnerable people. Will have that double protection, that extra assurance that they need, and they'll all have their two vaccinations. Almost all of the most vulnerable within the next few weeks will have both vaccinations. It's just great news. We're going to be back up and running, and we're going to have, I don't see any reason why we're not going to have a full house next year for the Edmonton Oilers.
10.4% of the 12-plus population in the province of Alberta is currently fully vaccinated.
Yep.
63.4% of the 12-plus population in Alberta have received at least one dose. The province has done 2.811 million total doses. So there you go. And the active cases in Edmonton has plummeted from about 6,100 on May the 5th to 1,800 as of yesterday. So that's over the course of the last 25 days. So it shows you that where we're going at there. And and that's all courtesy. You can go right on the Alberta website. I know that if you go to Our World in Data, people would probably be surprised by this, but there's actually a greater percentage of Canadians that have received a single shot than Americans. Now, the Americans have over 40% fully vaccinated. Again, Alberta's at 10% fully vaccinated, but there's a higher percentage of Canadians that have actually gotten vaccinated with a single shot than the U.S.
Yeah, Canada's one-dose strategy seems to be paying off. And you know, people who have listened to this show know I've been critical of Justin Trudeau for being slow on the vaccines initially. Well, in the end, Canada, we've caught up fast. We're moving fast.
It's gonna affect sports as well, right? Like, we're going
to... Totally.
The Elks, the former Edmonton Eskimos, the EE, the Edmonton Elks, they're going to hopefully get a chance to play here. And again, hopefully we'll have a full house for Rogers Place in the fall. All right. Just a quick text here. Wild Bill says, Ray Ferraro would be the perfect candidate to replace Colin Campbell, former small skill player who values star players. Unfortunately, he's likely too smart to take that role on. Well, Ray's an incredibly credible voice. It's a terrific, as good a color guy as there is in the league right now. An excellent guest on the various different TSN platforms, be it in the city or in Toronto, and very balanced in his approach as well. Doesn't play that card of, the Western Canadian teams being in these little remote outlets and Toronto being the center of the universe. Let's talk about Toronto. You monitor things like fan response. What was the general perception in oil country of the Leafs' demise?
You know, it's a funny thing, because now that we're all on the internet, most of us have contact with Leaf fans, and many of them are fantastic. And you get to see that they're just, you know, they're just like fans everywhere. They want their team to win, and they're decent, and they don't mock other teams too much. All kinds of great Leafs fans. But at the same time, we're more in touch with ever with a group of Toronto sportscasters and sports writers who just have appalling views. You know, they're ordering Connor McDavid. You know, you're not living up to things if you don't leave Edmonton, essentially. Or they're reading his mind, and he's going to leave Edmonton. If this keeps up, he's done here. And that kind of stupid commentary, no other way to call it, but stupid commentary and insulting commentary has an impact on Edmonton fans. And I think because of that, we're all sitting there thinking, good, I hope you go out. I hope that this team loses, because that's pretty bad karma coming from, emanating from, I think, a pretty small group of writers and Toronto fans, but it nonetheless has an impact on the perception of that team. And they don't think about it, but the rest of us and the rest of Canada do. And we don't wish the Maple Leafs well because of it.
Yeah, it's not always writers. Sometimes it's radio hosts. Sometimes it's ex-players that are radio hosts. It's pretty interesting. Switching focus, Habs and the Jets. Your thoughts on that series?
I really like the Jets, Bob. That was a, that is a team that shows great defensive commitment. They've got a good goalie. They've got a great goalie. And you have the forwards coming back and back-checking like they do and scoring from two or three lines. Like, the depth players they have on that team, players like Mason Appleton and Adam Lowry, just impressed the heck out of me with their checking. But so did the checking of every player. That top line had the reputation of not being a tough checking unit during the regular season. Well, they came to play in the playoffs. There was buy-in on that team for the system that they're playing. They're big, they're tough, they can score. Their no-name defense came through in a big way. They're strong positionally. I like the Winnipeg Jets, and I think they're being underestimated in this playoff entirely right now as a Stanley Cup contender. They have a chance to go all the way with the makeup of the team that they have. If they can stay healthy, that's a big thing. And Bob, they just had a week off, didn't they? They got it done quickly, and that kind of thing helps a team as it goes along in the playoffs. And they might, you know, so I think they might dispatch the Montreal Canadiens. I'll say Winnipeg in five.
Well, it's interesting. You mentioned Lowry and Appleton, a third round and a sixth round pick. Depth picks. Those guys came through that organization organically. Ryan Nugent Hopkins. This is a player that's beloved in oil country.
Yeah. And that makes it all the harder. Kind of the hard-headed analysis that has to go on in terms of the player. Because when it came to even strength scoring this year, and even one season of even strength scoring is a small sample size, and we all have to recognize that. And he could bounce back. But, Bob, he scored like a fourth liner this year. He played with Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, and his even strength scoring was the equivalent of an NHL fourth liner. So that's really troubling. It has to give pause to the team in terms of how they should proceed. And I think he had some bad luck. I think in a normal season, you know, based on the kind of the offensive chances he was generating, he would have had about, you know, 10 more points, 5 to 10 more points. And we're probably having a slightly different conversation. So I keep that in mind when I rate the player. And I also think, you know, get a winger from McDavid, put him back with Draisaitl and Yamamoto. Maybe he just picks up where he left off in 2019-20, with Draisaitl and Yamamoto, and is back to that player who was one of the top scorers in the NHL for that time period. So what I'd like to see personally is not a show-me contract, like a one-year thing, but three-year deal at the money that he wants. You know, meet him halfway, give him the money that he wants, but don't go with term. And the idea being that if you're still a great player after 3 years, of course you're going to get another contract, and a big contract. But there's enough reason for both sides, at least for the Oilers side, to play a little hardball here.
I think it's going to be interesting with Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. For me, it's a 50-50 proposition at this time. And I think people might be surprised at the term and the price point that he might be able to get there in the market, which is going to make it really challenging for Ken Holland and the Oilers if they, you know, if they're thinking. I wonder if the sweet spot is 6x6.
Oh.
There you go. And that's going to be the response of a lot of the fans. But I wonder whether or not there might be a couple teams he might be able to, like if you're Columbus, can he get 6x6 from them? They're looking for a center. If you're Seattle, can he get 6x6? Goaltending. Ken Holland stated a week ago today, Mike Smith, he'd like to bring him back. Can they come back with Smith Koskinen? I personally don't believe they can. I think they need to make a change if they're going to bring Mike Smith back. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I lean towards where you're leaning. You know, Mike Smith is an interesting guy because he had such a great year at his age. And the funny thing is, you know, most goalies decline in their late 30s or early 30s. Most players do. Goalies are the same. But there is this handful of goalies, Bob, that just defy the odds. And they're not necessarily the, you know, in that category are some of the best goalies who have ever lived. Jacques Plante, Dominic Hasek, George Hainsworth. They all had multiple great seasons into their early 40s. So there's this school of goalies. But there's other guys who are more comparable to Mike Smith. Dwayne Rolofsson, Ed Belfour, both at ages 40, 41. They were going strong. They had good seasons. So there does seem to be this handful of goalies who can defy time, father time, and keep playing well. And for that reason, I'm glad, you know, it looks, sounds like Ken Holland wants to bring back Mike Smith. I think that's a good idea. As for Koskinen, you know, last year at this time, people, we were all upset about Mike Smith coming back, and people were suggesting Braden Holtby or Aaron Dell or Jonas Korpisalo or Matt Murray. All of those goalies had lower save percentages than Mikko Koskinen this year. Darcy Kemper had 907 save percentage, you know, and we were all excited about the idea of getting him. It's just, it's voodoo picking, figuring out which goalies are going to succeed and which aren't. But I'm just worried with Smith's age and his injury history, going back to Koskinen one more time. He's an older goalie. He's going to be 33 himself next year. So for the future of the team, you got to be grooming Mike Smith's successor, I think. And the goaltender market is volatile enough with the expansion draft. Yes. I think there's going to be a good goalie who's going to come free. There's years when you're looking for a goalie and you can't find one. This is the year I think there is going to be a goalie that will come available. So for all of those reasons, I'm in favor of, if they can trade, especially if they can trade Koskinen, and even if they have to take back a defenseman or a forward who's a little bit subpar, I just think that's the move to make and bring in Mike Smith's successor this summer.
Well, I 100% agree. This is the year to strike because you can only protect one goaltender. And the other thing is a couple of goalies that don't have to be protected. One's a UFA out there. I mean, the other one, so, I mean, maybe the team would like to sign him. Another one is a guy that's got a term for another year. I know for a fact that those guys want to be in a place where they're the number one, not splitting it. That's going to be really intriguing to watch. Zach Cassian, I know you wrote this yesterday. I said on the show that I could foresee a scenario where teams like the New York Rangers and the Pittsburgh Penguins, we know the Rangers got thrown around. They were embarrassed by what happened against Washington. Washington leaned on the Pittsburgh Penguins. The New York Islanders leaned on Pittsburgh a bit as well. Pittsburgh now has a combination of Brian Burke and Ron Hextall. To me, logic would dictate those two teams, knowing the physicality of Washington and the Islanders, might look to add a little bit of muscle. I could see them being intrigued in a guy like Zach Cassian. But I liked what Cassian brought in the last couple games. I'd like to get your thoughts on Cassian.
I liked what he brought, too. I agree with you. He was strong in the last couple playoff games, and we see in the playoffs the value of these big players, big physical players. At the same time, Cassian is 31. He has a contract for the next 3 years that pays him $3.2 million. His scoring this year was at a wasn't even fourth-line level. It was sub that, his even-strength scoring. His physical play was down all year. He did bounce back for those couple games in the playoffs, so that was kind of enticing. Certainly you want to hear the offers. If you can, you know, it doesn't sound like it might be a poison pill to move him, where you got to sweeten the deal to move the contract. Sounds like there might be someone willing to give you something for Zach Cassian, maybe a draft pick. If that's the case, Bob, that sounds enticing. And I know suddenly the Oilers are a lot smaller. Without Zach Cassian, there's not the obvious menacing enforcer type on the team. Ken Holland is one in the past without that kind of player on his team in Detroit. Can you win again without that kind of player on your team? Does Colorado have that kind of player? I don't know if they do. So I think there's different ways of winning in the NHL. So if you have a chance to move a player who's overpaid, maybe overpaid a lot, I think you look at that seriously.
I mentioned that I can foresee a scenario where teams light at center looking for offense might go 6x6 on RNH.
Yeah.
Would you go 6x6 on Zach Hyman?
So when I heard you say that the other day on the show, I was like, facepalm. But I think that's probably, you're probably correct in your assessment of how much he's going to get. And I just, it's kind of a frightening number because he's 29, he's heading into his 30s. So instantly visions of Milan Lucic and David Clarkson dance in my head. Like all the players who have signed this kind of deal, Andrew Ladd, who sign these deals and they don't work out. At the same time, I've been saying repeatedly, the Oilers need a winger like Chris Kunitz, like a veteran, a good veteran two-way winger who can play with Connor McDavid. And so this is it. This fits all of that definition. And Chris Kunitz, in this day and age, if he was a free agent and signed this, that's probably the kind of contract he would have got. So, you know, I would have to think long and hard about the whole thing, but it's definitely something the owners have to think hard about, weigh, and they got to find a winger for McDavid, Bob. You and I know, everyone knows it. It's the mass consensus of Oiler observers, fans, and this is one answer, possibly.
Great stuff. Appreciate your time, David.
Thanks, Bob.
125 in Edmonton. We'll take a quick timeout. We will tell you. Wow, we heard David had enough. Slam that phone down. Guests on the show receive gift certificates to Japanese Village. Now open for takeout orders. Full details at jvedmonton.ca. We'll come back. Bunch, you want to jump in on the text line, on the Ashley Fine Floors text line, when we return on Oilers Now.
Hi, this is Zach Cassian from your Edmonton Oilers, and you're listening to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer on 630 CHED.
It's 127 in Edmonton. Bakersfield Condors today announcing that they're bringing back Adam Cracknell, who led the team in scoring during the postseason as Bakersfield won the Pacific Division Championship. It was the only division to play a playoff. Cracknell will be going into his 16th pro season, a one-year AHL deal. That means Jay Woodcroft's team down in Bakersfield will have Brad Malone, Adam Cracknell, and Luke Esposito on American Hockey League deals. That means they're not counting on the Oilers' 50-man roster. And these guys are very useful players. Sometimes you have to pay them a little bit more in AHL money. And it tends to benefit an organization because it provides you a little bit more flexibility in terms of your 50-man reserve. So food for thought in that regard. Old saying in the car business, cars cost less than Wetaskiwin. Brent Ridge Ford in Wetaskiwin is committed to providing unequaled automotive excellence, resulting in completely satisfied lifetime customers. If you currently have a vehicle that you're not using enough, payments or interest rates that are too high, or that you may want to sell a vehicle, refinance it, or trade it in for something different, go visit Uncle Milt, Rich, Johnny, and the gang at Brent Ridge Ford, or call them at 1-877-477-3673, or visit BrentRidge.com. We will head off to a global news weather traffic update with Eileen Bell. Come back with John Shannon for Legacy Heating and Cooling. This is Oilers Now.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone.
Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.